Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody?
Three of those will let you down.
Amen.
The car, the husband,
the wife,
mm-hmm.
all of that will let you down.
And kids too. Amen. And so,
you know, before we get to chat, we just want to touch base with that, because before we can bridle our tongue, or before we can actually start speaking right, we got to have faith in God that we wouldn't speak the words of ourselves or the flesh, but we would speak the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we look at James 2 and we look at verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him?"
Mm.
Now, this is not to dispel the doctrine, Dr. G, that you're saved by grace through faith, not
mm-hmm.
of works. But this is to say that you can't have one without the other.
Amen.
So if you have true salvation in Jesus Christ, then you're going to show
Amen.
The old songwriter said you need to show some signs.
All right.
So in other words, you can't say that you love me and keep hitting me upside my head.
Come on.
Huh? You know, you got so many people say, "Man, I had to beat him because I loved him." You know, he keep hitting me upside my head. A lot of times people get in relationships.
All right.
Sheila G, where they say that they love someone and they always got an eye swole up.
Mm. Right.
You know, "You made me do that because I loved you."
And, come on.
You know, it's all this crazy, insane stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, if you have faith in me, you have faith that I saved your soul by dying on Calvary's cross and shedding my blood, he said, you need to show some signs.
All right.
And if you truly have faith, you don't have a choice, because you won't want to sit on your faith. You want to do the works because you'll be motivated.
Right, because the Spirit of God is on the
right.
inside,
mm-hmm.
working on the outside.
Right.
And so when he said, "What profits you if you have faith and have not works?" And so he goes on to say that in this illustration, verse 15 through 17, he says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit?" So you see somebody out there and you know, they're cold and hungry, and you walk by and say, "God bless you, be warmed and filled," and just walk on by. It's like, what are you telling me about God?
Amen.
What are you telling me about God? You see I'm hungry, you see I'm naked, and you're going to say, "God bless you."
Uh-huh.
You know, be for real.
Come on.
You know, what faith without works is dead. You have faith in God,
mm-hmm.
but you won't even, you know, give me a little something to eat, or give me, you know, a little some clothes or something. You know, a lot of times people are leery about, you know, giving people money,
mm-hmm.
or giving people handouts. But if you can buy something from McDonald's, or you can look in your closet and find something, you will already pay for that.
Amen.
You know, you can help that way. But, you know, he's saying this is the type of faith that people have, Sheila G, where they talk a good game, but not walking anything.
Amen.
Sitting on their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on it. Anthony, can you give Sheila G a little more volume? And so they're sitting on their faith. Dr. G, what kind of faith is that?
That's a talking kind of faith. When you talk, and talk is cheap.
I know that's right.
You got to back it up.
And Sheila G, when you hear someone, you know, and I'm gonna go back to the dating game. With someone, you know, they say they love you, and you're the only one for me.
Show me.
You know, and they singing that song, but. You know, every time you call them, you know, they don't have time for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Or then they call you when they can fit you in.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know what kind of call that is.
Uh-huh.
Well.
I can't say it on the radio. Mm-hmm.
What you talking about? There you go. Exactly. From the studio audience. But you can't say that you love me, you got all these feelings for me. But you won't make a commitment to me.
Okay.
Oh, we done went there now.
Oh, you went
wow.
Show me.
So if you love me.
Show me.
Jesus died for me.
Amen.
Shed his blood for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you love me and you can't make a commitment to me, you can't say I love you. How long is the term fiance gonna go on?
Well,
what does the term fiance mean anymore?
Come on,
it's just tough.
Uh huh.
Does it mean anything? my fiance. I mean, uh-huh. I love you. In other words, I want you to be my wife. Some people fiance, they ain't got no ring.
Amen. It is.
It's just talk.
Talk.
It's something to keep you quiet.
Don't have no ring.
It's a nice term.
Huh?
It's a nice term of endearment.
And probably have not officially proposed. Because you don't have the ring.
And you need to work on the sound system, man. I'm getting too much feedback. But when you have that relationship, at what point should you say, okay, this person loves me and this person has proposed to me, this person mm-hmm. give me a ring, we're going through marriage, premarital counseling, we're sitting down, we're talking, we're moving forward. We're showing that the love is there.
Right.
In other words, it's not just talk.
Right.
In other words, I love you, so I propose to you. I'm not in and out, in and out of the relationship.
You didn't stop there. You didn't stop at the proposal and say, okay, that's it.
You know, that's the type of thing God is looking for. If we make a profession of faith in Him, that He has saved our soul, that we trust God, then we should be showing some visible signs
Amen.
Of what God has done in our lives.
Amen.
We should be showing some signs. We should be making progress. We shouldn't be cussing people out on the drop of a hat.
Come on. Come on.
Growth.
Amen.
We should be growing. Yes.
Amen.
Just continue to be babes.
And so if we go back to the word, chapter 2, verse 17, it says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone.
Mm.
In other words, you can't have faith without works. Other words, it's dead. You got these crazy shows on TV now talking about zombies and the living dead and all these people that are dead, but they're still walking the earth.
Well,
but in reality, that's what happens spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
People are spiritually dead and still walking the earth.
Amen.
Right, and it's like faith and works. It's like a hand and glove.
It
that's
is.
Why
yes, it
says
is.
It's alone. You can't. If you just have the faith and you don't work, then you're incomplete.
Exactly. And so what he does is he goes on in verse 18 and he explains, you know, some characters and some things that happen in the Bible that show, you know, these people of faith that they actually demonstrated their faith by works. So in verse 18, it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works and I will show you my faith by my works.
Mm.
So in other words, what he's saying, there's a contrast there. You can show me how you can do faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In
All
other
right.
words, I have some proof.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you look at the tree, you can tell the tree by the fruit it bears.
Amen.
If that tree is bearing a fruit, then you understand that is a true fruit-bearing tree.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you're an apple tree, you will never see no fruit.
Well,
you never see no apples.
Amen.
You're not making any applesauce, no. apple pie. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to take your word for it that you're an apple.
Yeah, I'm an apple tree. 5 years, you ain't seen an apple the first.
Just sitting there.
Where's the fruit?
Uh-huh. Not bearing fruit.
You know, you say you're an orange tree, right?
Right.
No orange juice.
Nothing.
Just talk. Where is it at? And so you know, James is telling us that, you know, it's got to show. You got to show something. And when you begin to start showing things, then people will begin to start wanting to listen to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Nobody wants to listen to what anybody has to say. If there's no works behind
it. Amen.
I don't see it. That's why they say your best testimony is the way you live your life,
mm-hmm.
right.
not what you say.
So it's like everybody that's in ministry or everybody that you know that claims to be a disciple of Christ, if you're not demonstrating some works, if you're not demonstrating some action, people are gonna tune you out.
Amen.
Right.
You ever have it tune someone out?
Yes.
There was all talk.
All right.
All the time. When it came to put up action,
mm-hmm.
it's like cricket.
Yeah. and you know, that's one of the things that it's difficult to get people to want to come to Christ or even want to come to the church, because when they look at so-called Christians, you know, we're not showing the kind of faith that we need to have. We're not drawing people. We're pushing them away. And, you know, I think Christians sometimes, you know, we forget what the Lord says. You know, our command is to go ye into all the world, you know, baptizing, teaching, and preaching,
right,
and to help draw people. But we're in our own little comfort zones,
right,
and we're not doing anything with it.
Absolutely. So James, he goes on and he puts, now this is really scary to me. He puts folks that have faith without works in the same category as the devil.
Amen.
Y'all need to look at verse 19.
Come on.
He puts folks that say they have faith,
amen,
without works in the same category, mm-hmm, as the devil.
Hello.
James is rough, man.
He telling it
James
like it
gonna
is.
James tell you, you up in church perpetrating a fraud, you ain't no better
than the devil.
Paraphrasing that.
Come on.
You ain't no better than the devil.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's why people would say, well, I know my Bible. Well, the devil knows scripture.
Amen.
Well,
come on now. Well, this is what James said. James, uh-huh, said, look at verse 9. He said, thou believest that there is one God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, thou doest well. And then he goes on and gives him the cut down. He says, the devils also believe and tremble.
Right.
So he's like, what you got? You believe, so what? The devil believes.
Yeah.
But he's still acting fool. So we believe also, but we still cutting up. We know better than the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And so people on the outside are looking at us talking about, yeah, they believe, they this, they that, they say this, they say that, but they won't help somebody. They won't talk and nice or kind to somebody. They,
mm-hmm,
act cold, boom.
Amen.
And so they know better than the devil. That's rough,
right,
man.
But, you know, if you look at that same verse 19,
mm-hmm,
the devils have sense enough to tremble.
Tremble. This is true.
But we don't.
They have reverence.
They have sense enough to know.
Right. And here we are. We out there. Man, people. And he's talking to church folk.
Amen.
Church folk can be some rough people.
Tell it.
They can be hurtful.
Tell it.
Can I go there just for a second?
Come on.
Church folk can be some rough
they
people.
Can.
Amen.
Huh? Pray for you one day, and
uh-huh,
the same day.
Talk about you.
Like a dog.
Oh, my goodness. But James is pulling in front. And I think right now in the church, we have to be too accepting,
mm,
of everything that goes.
Amen.
Because we're scared that people are going to get mad and leave.
Mm-mm.
So we have to be accepting. Oh, you can cuss me out. We still gonna love you. Oh, you can talk bad, but we still gonna love you. We still gonna love you, but I'm gonna call you a devil, just like James called you a devil.
Come on,
call you out.
That demon out of here.
I'll
call you out.
Amen. But we don't do that anymore.
No, because afraid everybody will leave.
Mm-hmm. And we don't want to offend anybody.
Don't want to be. I'm gonna tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Don't want to say what it takes to truly be close to God.
Wow.
And sometimes the pulpit has to, like, hurt people's feelings to do that. But that's coming because the Lord wants you to do straight and right.
So Dr. G, what do you think the people of Jamestown thought of him?
Oh, they probably cussing him out, too.
What did they think about James?
They were talking about him.
He never say anything nice.
Mm-hmm. They were talking about him like they talk about us.
You think they was upset with James?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
But then they had to look in the mirror.
But you know, there's some folks that probably went home from that sermon that he preached and talked bad about
that. Oh, yeah. Big time.
But if they were true Christians after that and after they settled down, because we all get that. Our emotions get in the way. Once they put the emotions aside and took a stock of themselves and listened to what he had to say, if you're going to try the Spirit by the Spirit.
Right.
Then it's like, okay, all right, let me get myself in check. Because we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there where somebody has said something to us, and we're like, I can't believe he said that. But then when you kind of take a step back and look in the mirror and say, oh, okay, well, maybe I do need to. Yeah, I need to check myself a little bit.
So you know, when you look at James, he's finished in this chapter 2, verse 20. He said, but will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, and you're just going through the motions. And so James is just trying to reiterate that we need to check ourselves.
Right.
I think it was Paul who said that if we would judge ourselves,
mm-hmm,
we wouldn't. Nobody would have to judge us.
Amen.
Right.
It's sort of like children. If your children clean up their room, do their chores, you don't have to fuss at them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm.
But then when you fuss at them, they have their lip poked out and they know they're wrong. Same thing. It's
right,
like, you,
right.
You didn't clean up your room, so
right.
No, you can't go out. What do you mean I can't go out? You didn't clean your room.
Right. And it's like, is it the same thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you do what you're supposed to do, you won't have this problem.
Won't have this issue.
You won't have the issue. Mm-hmm. And so he said, do what you're doing, walk by faith, you'll demonstrate your works. You won't have to worry about me calling you dead because you'll have a live faith. And that's what the word of God does. It becomes alive in you. And I don't think people understand that too much, that the word becomes alive when you actually start living it.
Right.
Mm. Other words, it's just
right.
In a book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How many times you seen people
right.
After church, they take their Bible and they just throw it in the back of the, back of the car. It's unbleached. It's unbleached in the car so they can find it on Sunday.
It does.
Amen. And so that's what happens when the word is not alive. It's just the Bible is closed. It's like it's not doing you any good just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, get it inside you, and you have to live it. The word has to become alive.
Right.
And when it becomes alive, then now you have a lively faith. Your faith is not dead. Your faith is alive. In other words, you're walking the word. In other words, you become illuminated, and now you have the light of God shining out. You're affecting people by your walk, by your talk, the things that you do. Your faith is alive, and now people can see God because they see it in you.
Mm-hmm.
Which we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, so they should be seeing Christ through us.
Exactly. But you have to live it out. But how are you going to live it out if you don't know the word?
Ouch.
You can't.
Because I believe it was the Hebrew writer that says faith. Now he said faith come by what?
Hearing.
The what?
The
word
of God.
So if you don't hear the word of God, you can't demonstrate faith. Is that what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to know what you believe in order to walk upon it. Because the Hebrew writer also said, he said that. You know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, what he's saying is you are acting like you have something even before you have it.
Amen.
That's faith. In other words, God said it. I might not have it right now,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to act like I already have it.
All right.
Is anybody tracking with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you go to sit down on that chair, you don't know that chair going to hold you. How many people came into the studio today? Huh? You came in this, and you had faith that chair, somebody could came in here with a little saw over the week and put a little
come on.
Cut it, and had set you up, but
uh-huh.
You had faith, right?
That chair was going to support you.
And some of us weigh over 200 pounds.
Well.
That's me. And set my butt right on down and didn't even think about it.
Amen.
Because I had faith, right?
That's right.
That it was going home. See, that's how God operated. I want to see if you say you're going to believe it and then act upon it, even if you don't have it yet.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. Come on.
That's a big pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. And in reality, I mean, we live in a society of, you know, we live in the show me state.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see everything before we believe it.
Right.
And but that's not how God works.
Oh. He doesn't work like
mm-mm.
That. And he's going to give some examples here in chapter 2. But think about that. What kind of faith is it if you got to see it first?
Mm.
That's not faith.
That's not faith.
Huh? That's
mm-mm.
Not faith.
That is not faith.
You got to have faith and you got to get it by hearing the word of God. And when God says it, by faith, you have to respond to it. And then what happens is God sees that and he honors your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the Hebrew writer also says that God honors, he honors our faith. You have to get into a point where you say, well, God is God that's looking for us to be faithful.
Amen.
So much so that we were saved by demonstrating faith.
All right.
Let's look at Ephesians 2:8 real quick. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And this is the doctrine that Paul is preaching about Jesus Christ. In verse 8, Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved,
mm-hmm.
through what?
Faith.
And not of yourself. It is the gift, what?
Of
God.
And in that verse 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's not saying that you can work your way into faith. But in James, he's saying that because of your faith, you'll show works. So that's the delineation, what he's trying to say. You can't work to get faith, but because of the faith that you demonstrate in God that you're saved, it will cause you to have works.
You will have works.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, you know, if we're saved by faith, that means that's God's ticket to everything in his kingdom.
All right.
It's faith.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be people of faith that believe what God says and demonstrate it by doing what he says. That's the key to everything that we need, everything that we want, is to have faith that God has a plan and we believe God's plan. And if we follow his plan by faith, then everything that he promised us, somebody should get excited.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody excited about everything that God has promised us?
Yeah.
There ain't enough people excited. There should be folks excited all around the world. Because we should know that if God promised it and we accept it by faith, that he's going to prove it to us in his time. So I get excited about, you know, when God says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Come on.
Not made by hands.
Well,
yeah.
Not
dealing with medication and sickness and problems.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And God said that in his word, so you have hope and belief in God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why it's important for us to understand that we have to be a people of faith that operate on faith, that believe what God said he's going to do and carry it out, because that's the way the kingdom is set up. You can't get into the kingdom without faith.
That's right.
C-O-G.
And what happens is we put our faith too much in other people, other things,
mm-hmm.
everything but God.
Amen.
And so that holds us back from doing our work. You know, for example, if, like you said, you know, helping people out or things. A lot of times we'll do things because we want something,
uh-oh.
A thank you or something in return.
Uh-oh.
Well, people aren't always going to do that.
No.
But if you did it based off what God said
exactly.
you did, it won't matter.
Exactly.
It won't matter. You just say, okay, Lord, I know, as long as you saw it. That's why I like Colossians 3.
Right.
Because it's like, you're not doing it unto man. You're doing it unto
God.
Me. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do it unto God. He will bless your faithfulness.
Yes,
even
right.
if the other person doesn't appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go back to the word in James 2 in verse 21, he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son, upon the altar? And verse 22, it says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And verse 23, it says, and scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Mm.
So look what Abraham did. Abraham
mm-hmm.
was told by God to take your son, your only son, the one that you went through all that drama with.
Sacrifice.
Amen. Because Abraham and Sarah, they were laughed to scorn because they didn't
Amen.
have a son.
All right.
And God said, well, I'm going to make your seed as much as the sand on the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's going to be your, and people laughing, man, he old, she old. Amen.
Come on now.
They probably had some stuff like Viagra back then, too. Viagra ain't working. All that stuff ain't working.
Special wine,
and, you know, all these things. Nothing work. You old.
Fruit.
She's 70, 80, 90. He's talking about he going to have a child.
And he did.
And just like you laughed, Sarah's like. And she wasn't laughing at God. She was laughing at Abraham.
Like, yeah,
talking
right.
about, yeah, that old joker ain't doing nothing.
And he did.
She's talking about she was a young man.
But he did.
But, fellas, they're still hoping.
They help me, Jesus.
Because God specializes in things that we call impossible.
Amen. Amen.
And so if he did it for Abraham and Sarah.
Come on now. Come on.
He can do it again.
All right.
Because God honors our faith.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Somebody calling on the Lord right now. But he went through all this drama, and he wanted to work his plan instead of God's plan at first. And so that's when he brought in Hagar.
Come on.
Yep. Hagar, they called her the concubine.
That was her, Sarah, but Abraham should have said no.
Right.
He did just like Adam and said, okay.
Okay. Bring her on in.
Instead of saying to Sarah, no, God said, we will have a child.
And having faith and sticking with it.
And having faith and sticking with it.
Right.
And listen to that woman.
But you know, fast forward. Now they had Isaac. Mm-hmm. And so God said, now I really want to see where you at.
Come on.
What do we do when God picks our card and says, I want to see where you really at?
Yeah. All right.
Ooh,
to do the impossible.
I want to see where you really at.
Mm-hmm.
You went through all that drama. Here's Isaac.
Yeah.
Your son.
Uh-huh.
Your only son.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I say, take him up on that hill and sacrifice.
Mm.
Huh. Well.
That's what I'm saying. But see, God has a track record with Abraham.
Amen.
See, God had a track record. And see, that's what the enemy wants us to forget. He wants us to forget. Sheila G, you always say, you know, pull off all your previous.
Your past victories.
Mm-hmm.
Pull off your past victories.
The enemy wants us to forget that God was faithful and honored all of that stuff.
Right.
So you had the son.
Mm-hmm.
But you say, God, you messing with my mind. I got the son now.
All right.
And now you're telling me to sacrifice him?
Mm-hmm.
But because God demonstrated, and that's what God does. He'll do some stuff for you that nobody else would do.
Mm-hmm.
When you
true.
Know it's nobody but God. Somebody
that's
get ready to run out
that's
their house
true.
Right now.
That's true.
Go ahead and run
that's
out your
true.
House. Come on back
that
in.
That is so true.
God would do some things. I'm going to run around the church. God would do some things for you that you know it was nobody but God.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
mm-hmm.
get ready to scream right now. Go ahead, y'all. Just give God a hallelujah.
Amen.
That is
in other words, everybody else let you down. No money. You were sick. You was tired. You were sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Sick
your
and
friends
tired.
Wasn't around. The phone wasn't working. You had a penny in the bank.
Right.
Car broke down. Everything. But God showed up.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's just showing up by giving you peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
You know, it's not so much, Lord, I need you to give me something, but to give you that peace in your heart and the peace in your mind to know that.
It's going
to
be okay.
It's going to be all right.
It's going to be okay.
That's when you need to know your word. That's when you need to know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. If you know that word, then you can communicate with him, and then all of a sudden you'll just have that peace.
Because you heard that word.
That's
faith
right.
came by hearing.
That's right.
Hearing of the word of God.
That's right.
But you know, we have to keep in mind, too, that God works in his own strange ways and mysterious ways. And sometimes we don't understand, but that's where the faith comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, to give you an example, when Sheila was going through all that she went through, she had to go through the accident, then get sick in order to find out what she had going on. That was nobody but God. Now, man couldn't understand that.
No, no.
And I'm sitting there, I wasn't worried about it because I knew that the Lord had her.
Right.
God works like that.
Yeah. And he does things because he knows, he knows the beginning from the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we could just get that in our mind and in our spirit, God sees the beginning and the end at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pause right there.
Mm-hmm.
Get your mind around that.
Amen.
He sees the beginning and the end at the same time.
Amen.
Right.
We see the beginning and what is, and we get upset.
All right.
But we have to begin to be like God to know that the things that are seen are what? Are temporal or
mm-hmm.
temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Amen.
So when we begin to start looking at things, we got to start getting the mindset of God. He already knows the outcome. We'll get upset if the thunderstorm comes in and it's boom, 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 right? And it's thunder and lightning. It's like, oh, Lord, is it going to strike the house? Is it going to strike this? Is it going to strike this? And we get upset. But how many of us can change anything by worrying?
Nothing.
No, you can't.
Nothing.
And that's something I learned with my children, especially when they became teenagers.
Uh-oh.
I learned how to let go.
Oof.
I learned how to just let go mentally, let go spiritually, because the Lord was like, you're wearing yourself to death.
Mm-hmm.
I got this. He said, you gave them, they were born.
Amen.
Amen.
So I did. I literally let go. Go ahead. Go on. You'll figure it out in a minute.
God's got it.
Mm-hmm.
And when
and
you
stop worrying.
And stop worrying, because you
stop.
Can't change anything
nope.
by worrying.
Nope.
Amen.
And
stop
so this
worrying.
Is where Abraham was. Abraham saw God give him a son in his old age. So when God said, take him up on the mountain, Abraham saw, like God saw, he saw the beginning and the end.
Oh.
If I got to take him up and sacrifice him, God going to raise him up.
Amen.
That's right.
He said, so I'm going to go up there and kill him. God going to raise him up, and we're going to come back.
Or God will give me another child.
but
whatever God is going to do, it's going to be all right.
And this is what Abraham was. This is where he was. His face was so strong that either he gonna die and get raised back up, or I'm going to get another.
Right.
So he wasn't concerned. He got up early in the morning, took some folks, took some wood. His boy said, Dad, we got the burnt wood.
There's no animal.
We got the fire, but
there's no.
Where's
the goat? Where's the goat? Sacrifice.
Where's the animal? He said, shut up, boy. God gonna make a sacrifice. God will provide.
Amen.
Come on here.
Come on.
He was compassionate enough not to tell him you to sacrifice.
But what would you think he would tell him when he was wrapping him up? It tied him down. 1 + 1.
Dad. I love you, Dad, really.
But, you know, we laughing, but that's the kind of faith that God is looking for. When God has a track record with you, God is saying, okay, I want you to look at you seeing the beginning and the end at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
If I sacrifice him, I know that God's going to turn around. He's going to raise it. Because he told the folk at the bottom of the mountain, he said, well, y'all stay here. Me and the boy are going to go up and sacrifice. And he said, we're going to come back down.
Amen.
That's what he said. I believe that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're going to come back down. So in other words, he had already seen his son Isaac being sacrificed and brought back to life
mm-hmm.
and coming back down the mountain.
Come on.
See, you got to start talking to the enemy like that.
That's right.
Exactly. Yes, you
did. You got to say, well, God's already got this, so you might have this, or this, I might have this, that, and the other, but God's got this and that and everything else under control.
That's right.
Y'all go ahead and run down.
Come on.
Go ahead
and
run down the street.
Come on.
Run down and come back.
You can say you won the battle, but guess what? I'm going to win the war.
That's right. And just like he thought he had Jesus, now I'm getting ready to scream, we done went to the cross now. When he was up on the cross, put him down in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea,
mm-hmm.
and he thought he had him down, mm-hmm. but somebody said on a
Thursday,
they took him from the place where he was getting judgment hall to judgment hall, and then they crucified him on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Good gracious alive. Said he stayed in the grave Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, and the devil was catching down. But Jesus had told the disciples, he said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale.
That's right.
In 3 days, he raised it.
Right.
Then he said, if you destroy this temple, he'll raise it up in 3 days.
Right.
In other words, he saw the crucifixion, but he also saw
the
resurrection.
Come on.
Y'all better go ahead.
Come on.
I'm not going to preach tonight.
Come on. Come on.
I'm not going to preach tonight, but you need to see the crucifixion and the resurrection at the same time. We need to look at our situations and our circumstances and look at it might be bad, but I'm seeing the good at the same time.
Right.
You was in a car accident,
yeah.
but
mm-hmm.
God saved your life.
Yes,
the car
indeed.
Accident.
Mm-hmm.
Now
That's
go
right.
imagine that.
Amen.
I'm in an accident.
Amen.
But God saved my life through the accident. You better go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and
come
run
on.
Around. Go ahead. Right. No, I'm going to run around.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, go ahead.
That's right. So that's nobody but God.
Mm-hmm.
That is just how he works. And that's why you can't look with your eye. That's why you have to look with your spiritual eye to say that, okay, Lord, I'm going through a battle right now, but I know you have the I have the victory in the war, and you are going to win this war for me. So I'm going to trust you as I go through this because I know on the end I am more than a conqueror.
And in verse 22, he says, by your works was faith made perfect. In other words, you are being perfected by experiencing things where you can see the beginning from the end and operate in faith. And when you can see the beginning and end and operate in faith, God is perfecting us. He's getting us into the position where we're without that spot or wrinkle. In other words, we're losing the unrighteous part of us and becoming more and more righteous and more like him. And this is God's way of strengthening us and perfecting us by getting us to go through faith situations.
That's right.
And when you begin to start going through them, I mean, Abraham had to be a bad dude.
Amen.
I mean, he went through some drama. He lied and said Sarah wasn't his wife, was his sister. He got the concubine and went through Hagar and went through all this stuff. I mean, he went through some stuff.
Yeah.
But when he got to the point where Sarah conceived and delivered that child, he said, God is my man.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
But he had that initial faith to leave, you know, and God counted his righteousness. But God said, now I truly know, and God called him a friend. He said, he's my friend. In other words, he's my friend because I understand now that he truly knows me by faith and knows that I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I can do anything. We talked about that in our worship last week, that God is the great I am that I am. In other words, everything that you need, he is.
Right.
And so that's how Abraham knew God now. And so when he said, go sacrifice Abraham, he said, he got up early.
Come on.
Let's go on up to Mount Carmel, get them young boys, get that upset. We going up here and we going to sacrifice and we coming back. Because he knew God was. And many of us have gotten to the point where we're experiencing faith and we're operating like that. And many people in ministry have gotten to that point, and people that are hearing the word of God are getting like that, where they say, okay, this happens, but God is able to do this.
That's right.
This is happening. It just begins to flow out of you because you experience God and you know God, and you know this is just a temporary setback.
Situation. That's right.
It's just a temporary thing, and God is perfecting me, and in his perfecting me, he is also blessing someone else.
Amen.
That's right.
And so I don't no longer see it as a test, but I see it as a testimony coming to help somebody else.
Come on.
That's right. And then it's just walking in his will.
Amen.
You know, it's the amazing thing about this, the situation with Abraham is he still has a choice. God does not force himself on you. You have a choice, and that's why it was truth. That's how God knows his faith. Because you didn't do it because I made you do it.
Right.
You did it because you loved me and you believed in me that much. But we still have that choice.
That's right.
Either choose to walk by faith and accept him, or we can say, you know what, Lord, I'll catch you on the next one.
Right.
I don't believe in you that much.
And we have that choice.
Amen.
We have that choice. We have the choice to either walk in faith or walk in unbelief.
All right.
He's not going to force it on us.
Okay.
We have that choice. And this is what God... He hasn't put a computer chip in our back,
right.
And we all have faith. Now he said, I'm gonna give you the opportunity to exercise what we call a choice. You can make a choice. You have the ability to choose and not to choose. You have that ability, and this is what God is looking. We look from Abraham. He's looking from us. Are we gonna choose God?
Mm.
God has a track record.
Amen.
He's shown himself. Anybody in here doesn't believe that God hasn't shown himself?
Definitely
shown
personally, in your own personal life.
But like Dr. Gregory said, Dr. D says, we are people of, what did Janet Jackson song came out? What have you done for me lately? That's us. We all should come through the door on Sunday morning singing that Janet Jackson song. What have you, because sometimes that's how we act, ungrateful.
Amen.
God and bless you all week long, and some people come in there like they're sucking on lemon.
Come on now.
And it's because they don't understand, they don't see the bigger picture that, yes, bad things happen to good people, but bad things happen to good people not so much because it's God's fault as it is that there's sin in the world. Because there is sin in the world, bad things will happen.
But the way that you get out of it, the way that you have peace of mind, the way you gain strength is you're like, you know what, Lord? I know there's sin in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there are going to be situations. I know there are going to be things where I'm going to be unhappy. But
right.
I know that I can still have the joy of the Lord
mm-hmm.
because I trust and I have faith to believe in you that once again, you're going to bring me out of the situation.
Amen.
But see, their focus is not on God. And as you said, when they come in on Sundays, they're thinking about everything but worshiping the true God.
Uh-oh.
And if their focus was
Uh-oh.
Where it ought to be,
Uh-oh.
Then that's when God can really work and
wow.
do what he has to do.
Wow.
And so when we take our focus off of him,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of crap comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We're not paying attention. We're not doing what we should. We can't really come in with the excitement
right.
and the joy that we should have.
My goodness.
Amen.
My goodness. Wow.
And like you said, we ought to be excited.
Exactly.
That's true.
I mean, the fact that God woke you up one more day.
Goodness gracious.
That right there is enough to get excited about.
There is nothing better than going into worship with you, just you and the Lord when something bad has happened.
All right.
Amen.
When you know that you're in a rough situation and you know that you're unhappy, you got tears streaming down, but you are singing
Amen.
And you're praising the Lord,
Amen.
The next thing you know, those tears will dry up.
Yes,
and you're like, you know what? That's okay.
It's right. all right.
All right, devil, you got this. You
mm-hmm.
won this little battle, but I still got the war.
Amen.
Like the president says, you off my shoulder.
Nope.
That's right. That's right. And when we begin to understand, I love what you said, Dr. T. If we could get people to understand that in that worship, if you come prepared to worship, you come by faith, you come to God's presence, his place of worship,
mm.
and you come by faith, God wants you to come to that position.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can exchange what he called beauty for ashes.
Amen.
In other words, you can bring your ashes to God in worship, and he'll exchange it for what you need.
All right.
Somebody get ready to run down
right.
the beltway
All
now.
Right.
Come on. Y'all going down the beltway. In worship,
mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. God takes our ashes, our stuff, our brokenness, and he takes it and gives you what you need to strengthen you.
Amen.
That's right. Strength.
Yeah, it's an exchange, but if you never get into the right place of worship,
mm.
he can't
because you're so caught up in what you see,
mm-hmm.
because you're so caught up in the drama
Stuff.
That you stay at Bedside Baptist
Watch
because
out,
you're
now.
Tired of Sister So-and-so
Watch out, now.
And her mean, nasty self.
Hello.
Lord have mercy.
Come on.
And if you want to come in and you want to snatch her by her
waist. Uh-huh.
Or kick brother so-and-so behind because he done pissed you off to the
Hello.
Instinct level.
Come on now. Come on.
Now you can't come into worship.
Uh-uh.
Because you're more concerned about how you're going to get them back on uh-huh. what they said to
Emotion.
You or hurt your itty-bitty feelings. Then now you sitting up, swole up, mad, behind on your back, winding your jaw, shaking your
And you can't
fist,
worship.
Hindering the spirit from everybody else.
All right.
And you can't get into a place of worship where God can come in and dig that and exchange that and give you strength for what
give
you
peace.
Need.
Mm.
Give you peace. But that's our emotions. We let our emotions get the best of us, and that's why we have to keep our emotions in check and truly, truly walk by the Spirit.
And you got to walk by faith, knowing that I can't do nothing to Sister So-and-so.
Mm-mm.
She was mean and nasty. She was
Amen.
Mean and nasty.
I'm just saying,
God,
I'm not like her.
Until God
Amen.
Does something about her mean and nasty.
Amen.
And God can truly do something
yes,
about
he
mean
can.
And
So you go pray for her.
Lord,
right?
And pray on her.
And keep on moving.
Amen.
Amen. But don't let mean and nasty keep you from getting in a place of worship.
That's
you miss
right.
your blessing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. You just keep it moving because you're really there to worship the Lord. And the devil is right up there in church trying to get you not to worship
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the ploy. That's the ploy. You get, okay, I'm going to have this person mm-hmm. look at you sideways.
Well, you
I'm
didn't say this, good morning to me.
I'm going to have this person look at your man.
You can. Oh.
So then you're all obsessed with that. Well, if he's your man, why you can't they look at him?
Amen.
Go ahead. Talk to him. Talk to him.
Come on.
Minister now.
Come on. Preach.
Keep it moving.
It's
true. We have to get our emotions in check. We are too emotional, and that's why we can't walk by faith.
Right.
If you're walking by faith, it means I may feel like this, I may get a little twinge, but you know what? I'm going on anyway.
Amen.
And I'm not going to let you steal my joy because you're not worth all that.
mm.
Woo! Just saying.
I'm with you on that. And when you get into a place of worship with God, where you walk past all the stuff that you can see, and you get into that place where you're experiencing worship, you're experiencing God, you can get stronger.
Right.
And you can pray for those people that misuse you and spitefully use you and say all manner of evil
about
you. Because you're walking by faith, knowing that God will give you that strength and make that perfection in you so that you can move to that next level.
That's right.
You got a handle.
Wow.
Here.
We are all running quickly. So let's go to the phone line, see if we can get somebody on the phone.
Chill.
Can we get 2122, you on air?
2122. Happy Thursday, yes, family.
Happy Thursday. How are you?
Doing just great. You know, you all was mentioning Hebrews 11 and that whole chapter, 1 through 40. This shows you how people stepped out there with faith and what followed along with it. Because if they didn't step out there with that, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Amen.
And that's what it is. We have to get out the fear factor and go ahead and look towards the Savior, which is Jesus Christ, when storms come our way. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, 2122. All right. We're going to go down to 6326. 6326. You on the air? 6326. All right. We're going to move on down to 1741, you on the air.
Hi, Pastor. How you doing?
Pastor doing well. How are you?
First Lady.
Bless you all.
Bless you.
So we're just asking people about faith tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to have faith in order to, first of all, to believe that Jesus is said he is. You have to have faith to believe that you are saved.
Amen.
And then you definitely have to have faith just to live from day to day. It's not what we see, but it's what we believe. Because some days, if we go according to our feelings and our emotion,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't even believe that we are saved. So that's why we truly have to believe that God is a forgiving God, even when we fail. And a lot of times, I think the reason why our faith gets so shaky is because we set too high standards for ourselves, and we want to be people of perfection. But we must realize that we're going to make some errors, and grace is there. And so when we do fall, when we do make errors, we have to have enough faith to believe that we are forgiven and
mm-hmm.
we can, you know, Jesus has forgiven us. He picks us up. He cleans us off, and we can start all over again.
Amen.
Right. Hmm.
Well, thank you for your comments. We're going to go to 0025. 0025, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. What are we talking about?
Yes, sir, Pastor. This is Minister Sykes. It's not what it looks like. Nothing is what it looks like. You've got to always have faith in God.
Amen.
Because if I had not had faith in God, I don't know where I would be.
I know that's right.
That's right.
But I tell you what, faith the size of a mustard seed.
Come on,
I tell you, have that mustard seed faith. So no matter what the challenge and no matter what it looks like, I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and I'm going to have faith in God. The songwriter said, have faith in God. Faith in God. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to have faith in God.
Amen.
Thank you for your comments. We're going to go to 7971. 7971, you on the air. 7971. All right, we're going to go down to 3116. 3116, you on the air.
Praise the Lord. God
hallelujah.
Bless
you. Bless you.
I tell you, The Lord wants us to be like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Your lives are a living epistle written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. And he wants us to be like Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait upon the Lord shall mount up like on wings like eagles.
That's right.
They're running not weary, they're walking not faint. But God, we can't lose. Isn't that right, Ma?
That's right. That's right. I'm sitting here. I'm so proud. All my cheering, as I say in West Virginia.
All right.
All of you with the Lord. And you know I'll beat you in the back when you do things wrong, right? And tell you the truth. Just, don't you lie to me at all. Keep
your
faith.
Keep your faith. All right.
Thank
you for your comment.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you. We're going to go down to 9771. 9771. You're on air. 9771. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our phone folks to call in. We're going to ask some folks in the studio what you think about this faith that God wants us to walk in. They're a little shy in the studio, aren't they?
Me, I was thinking about what Pastor Gregory was saying. You know, when you come in, you're looking for what you're expecting, this and that.
Right.
And that's why I had to learn, too, because I know sometimes coming in, you know, you let things distract you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, too. And I know it was the reason why I had to come out here tonight. Like I said, faith without work is, is dead. You got to live and you got to walk through, let people, see it in your life that you're living. And I did, like I said today, I did learn to the point that coming in, I got to be focused on, getting in the Word, and I can't worry about the surroundings.
That's right.
Because out there, a lot of things been going on. We're about, the kids this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like now to the point coming in and focusing on, to the Lord, so I can receive
Amen.
And get my blessing.
Amen.
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 That's all right. That's all right.
I definitely think that faith is, I guess in a sense, it's easy to have faith when things are going good.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's just, the morale is great. You're up. You're feeling good. I'm good.
Hey.
Tomorrow's going to be even better.
Yeah.
And, but I think the true test and where people go wrong is that when things go bad and things aren't going your way, you almost kind of feel like you don't have anything to lean on and put your faith in. And that's the true test. And that's one of the reasons why, we tell people all the time, being a Christian is not easy because, you're going to be battle tested. You're going to look back at times where you on your last leg or you were clinging on, but you still had, faith to get you through it. So I think the one thing is that God doesn't want any followers that are going to be weak or going to tap out when things get rough.
Right.
He wants you to have faith, even though where everybody else around you thinks that you're on your last leg or there's no possible way you can get through it. But if you continue to have faith, then he will continue to bless you. And then the main thing is you can hang on to someone else or kind of be that anchor or be that crutch for somebody else who's going through something. If you've been there, or you can say, hey, look, I'm telling you, I know the way it looks, but no matter what the world tells you, no matter even what your psyche is telling you, you're going to have faith. Even when it looks grim, you're going to continue to have faith. But I think the key is that when things go bad, continue to maintain that faith.
Amen. All right. Amen. That's all right. Anybody else?
So I can kind of get what you're saying about
short version.
I can kind of get what you're saying about the whole the when he was talking about when the devil tries to get you when you plan on having a good day. So say if like you pray to God first thing in the morning and say, God, I'm gonna have a great day today.
Right.
And you go through the day and just gotta tick you off and just like something happens. So you're saying you still gotta pray for that person even though
don't like them.
You don't even though you don't like them.
Right.
That's right.
You figure that
thing. It's perfecting.
experience. But you know something else, because I think Brandon touched on it. You know, your faith can rub off on other people.
Right.
And when you go back and you read that about how Abraham was, and Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain, about ready to sacrifice him, but nowhere in that scripture do you read where Isaac fought him or tried to get away or gave him a hard way. He just laid there. And so Abraham's faith rubbed off on his son.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the key. That whole thing, I mean, it catches.
Yeah, yeah. And in the end of that, and we'll talk about that next week, God told Abraham, stop.
Hello.
There's a ram caught in the thicket.
Hello.
So God always has a ram
in the bush.
In the bush. In other words, when God sees you operating in faith, whatever you needed at that time, God's got it.
Yeah. He got it.
But he's going to present it to you at the time of your strongest faith.
You're going to make me run. You're going to make me run. Because one of the things that, and I'm going to try to hold it together, was when I was pregnant with Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us that she had found us that we had a choice to terminate the pregnancy and that she wasn't going to walk. She wouldn't go to regular school. She was going to have this, that, and the other.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, and we told the doctor, the Lord's not going to put any more on us than we can bear.
Mm-hmm.
But even after that, when I was walking around, I told everybody. You
know,
a lot of times people want to hide when something's going down. I said, yeah, my baby is deformed. I don't want you to pray so much that she's healed because I know God's will be done.
Amen.
But I pray that you would give me and my husband the strength to deal with her. And I remember at work, people were like, "You're walking around smiling with all the joy." It's like, "Yes, I'm a baby girl after having all those boys."
All right.
I know that.
But then when she came and then she started to grow and she started to develop, now is when I get the fruits of my faithfulness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was I afraid inside? Yes.
Yeah.
The emotions in me was like, Lord, I don't know how to take care of a disabled child.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I'm going to do whatever you're going to do, and you're going to give me the strength to do it.
Yeah.
And then the Lord blessed, because like you said, he knows the beginning and the end.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And people were praying. People were praying. They were praying. The whole church was praying. I had people at work praying for my strength that weren't even in church.
Amen.
I said, just don't pray for the healing because God's got it.
Yeah.
Just pray for my strength.
Amen.
Because God's will be done.
And like I said, he's got that ram in the bush. He sees the beginning from the end. If we could just leave with that tonight.
Come on.
That God sees the beginning and the end at the
same time.
Amen. Amen.
So he knows what the story is going to be.
All right.
And he knows everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
That'll preach. But we're out of time again. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to get to this place. Talking about faith and what James has talked to us about. So Sheila G, I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we once again want to thank you for this opportunity to expound on your word, Father. Now I pray, Father, that we will take this word and hide it in our hearts, Lord, that we will all have faith with works, Lord, understanding that if we truly walk and truly have faith, we can't help but have works, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, Father, that we would just carry this word without us until we meet again, Lord, and we just learn to worship you anyhow.
Yes.
Good times, bad times. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Have a good week.